Blog Talk Radio.
Person, if you're looking for somebody, he's gone.
Yes.
And he don't need nobody else. There's no question of your greatness, no searching of your power. Oh, the wonder of your glory. To you 40 years is but 1 hour. Your knowledge is all encompassing. To your wisdom there is no end. Oh, for you alone are God. You are God alone. Your mercy is everlasting. Your truth is here always. You are He who was and is to come. Who is He that can number your days? You flung the sun to burn in space, and the night moon powers light from day. Oh, you alone, your God, your God, and oh Him, you're everything I need. You are God alone. Now run to the King.
Praise the Lord and glory to God. Welcome to another Kingdom Builders International program. Glory to God. This is Evangelist Hannah, and continue to enjoy the music, and I will return. Glory to God.
Oh,
Glory to God. He is truly glory and dominion and power, Lord thy God. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Tonight we have a speaker that comes on every third Friday. Apostle Brooks, are you on the line?
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, man of God. I thank God for you. I thank God for you, man of God. Hallelujah, Jesus. And at this time, I will yield the line to you, Apostle Brooks.
Thank you, and God bless you, Evangelist
God
Hannah.
God bless you, too.
I sure feel an outpouring of love from you every time we talk and we meet. For the saints that's on the air and for the ones that could not be here, we just praise God for you for this opportunity once again to be over the airways to present a word to God's people. I do feel privileged to have this opportunity to be imbued with the wisdom and knowledge from on high. It's certainly an opportunity that I don't take lightly. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, once again I come to you asking and thanking you for the opportunity to speak before your people. But Lord, let not my flesh speak. Let nothing proceed out of my mouth that's not from heaven's gate. Take now this man, Lord, and allow your spirit to infuse me with nothing but power from on high. Let the wisdom and knowledge from your throne room flow through me, that someone might learn of you and not of me. Father, hide myself behind the cross, that they might hear the word of God and become subject to it. We thank you right now for this privilege and opportunity. We bind the enemy over the airways on the east, north, south, and the west. I speak with authority over which God has given me to be called an apostle of Christ. I take not lightly my duties for God, for I'm an apostle for real. So the blood goes out and covers right now each and every person that's listening, that it'll come through clear as it should be. And in Jesus' name it is so. Amen and amen. People of God, we come this evening on Friday, June the 15th, 90 degrees outside. This is a wonderful, beautiful day. But even so, this is the day the Lord has made, and we can rejoice and be glad in it. Today I'm going to take a very significant word in the Bible that we must make applicable both to our spiritual and our moral lives and our lives at home. It's a word that's been used constantly from the time you grew up. And that word is obedience. And we know 1 Samuel 15 and 22 tells us that obedience is better than sacrifice. Why? And we know daily it's a sacrifice to serve you, God, to give up our wills, to be subject to your will, is an awesome sacrifice in of itself. And then we're called upon, Father, to give our sustenance unto you. 10% is our reasonable sacrifice, but you tell us in your word now that obedience is better. So let's start from the beginning. The word obedience is commanded to us from the time that we're born. Funny thing about people that we have to learn how to do right, but we don't have to learn how to do wrong. It comes from the scripture said, into iniquity I was born. And if in sin you was born, you automatically know how to sin. But again, let me remind you that sin is not the problem, because the price for sin has been paid for. But sinners are the problem. We're prone to sin from the time we're born. We have to learn how to be obedient to our parents. And think about each parent, each home, each individual has their own set of rules to which we have to learn to live by. All the time they're not correct, but they're still rules that we have to learn to understand as we grow up. Our parents teach us to be obedient, or we'll be subject to their rule. A lot of times that meant, when I was in my generation, meant that you would get a whooping. Now, if y'all don't know what the word whooping means, it means that you'll be spanked. In other words, spare the rod, you spoil the child. And a lot of us have thrown the rod away, and we have a lot of spoiled children. They don't know a thing about obedience. The most profound word in American English, in the history of mankind, obedience is necessary for us to even be called human beings, because it keeps us moral and it keeps us in a society to which we can operate. In every facet of our lives, obedience comes into play. If you're in the military, there's someone that tells you what to do. There's always a higher rank. Even when you get to be the President of the United States, he has to be obedient to certain laws, rules, and regulations. And we understand as we go through this world, we have to be obedient to the laws that are in our particular neighborhood, in our particular home, our communities. Believe it or not, even in Chicago, which we broadcast from the Greatest Straightway Full Gospel Church on the corner of 104th and King Drive in Chicago, every community have a different set of rules that they live by. If you live in Oakland, Oakland has its different rules, but yet it's a subsidiary of Chicago. Same thing with Burbank and any surrounding communities. They have their own set of rules that go along with the rules of Illinois. So obedience to those rules are very necessary to live. If you have a job, you have to go to work. They have set a rule that you have to be obedient to, or you soon find yourself in the unemployment line. So we have to learn obedience in every facet of our lives. Whether in church or out of church, obedience becomes prevalent. So when we learn to be obedient, we learn to obey. Simply, the word means obey. And in the Greek, the hapakaio means submission, to be compliant, to obey. And this word is so significant in following and serving God that we fail to realize it's the most profound word in the Bible, to obey. The word obey, obedience, or its words similar to obedience, obey, is found over 100 times in the Bible, in the Old and the New Testament. When you find a word mentioned that many times in Scripture, it becomes very significant and are operating to the will of God. My four things that I would tell people is that obedience, trust, delight, and rest are four key elements in serving God. When you become obedient to the word of God, you become subject to nothing but his will. But it becomes hard because we get in church and we're taught a lot of things, but we're not taught total obedience to the word of God. We're taught Ten Commandments, which now is not as prevalent in church as it used to be because it's guidelines. We're not under the law. But you must learn to be obedient. In fact, there's a scripture in Romans 1 and 5 says, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. So for to be under God's name, to be under Jesus' name, you must be obedient, number one, to his word, to his will, and to every action that you do. In fact, obedience is an intricate part of worship. It asks us how we can worship God. To worship him in spirit and in truth means also that you have to worship him in your obedience to his word. And that's the truth of the matter when you become subject to his will. His will is paramount in subjugating us to do what God would have us to do. And that's a hard part of us because we live in a world so contrary to the word of God. But if you apply yourself to the words of God and you say, nothing is going to stand in my way, nothing is going to stop me from serving him, and I will serve him as long as he puts breath in my body, and let not the enemy touch you in your serving him, you'll find yourself being quicker to be obedient than when you were not. And I realize it's hard to be obedient because we have so many different facets of religion that has contaminated our worship in so many different churches, denominations, and religions have drawn up their own way of serving God, and some of it is contrary to the Bible, contrary to the Word of God. A lot of men, and I'm not trying to knock pastors or any other one, I'm not a pastor knocker, but I do know that some want you to follow them before you follow God. And that has become a real sticking point in our churches, that some pastors forgot that the word minister means to serve. And when we put ourselves to serve God, we become obedient and subject to the Holy Spirit and operate our churches according to the word of God and being obedient to the same. I would say that it's not easy because being men and being apostles and pastors, we become leaders. And leaders sometimes forget that they're only leaders because they was humble to the word of God and God allowed them to use them. Sometimes we get in those positions, we become zealous and we become self-centered. but you must remain humble and obedient to the word of God. One key point I can point out is a lot of time that happens to politicians. They start out one way and really want to serve God and have some good ideals and ideology to serve man. But something happens along the way and they become subject to self-gratification. Money and power seem to pollute the desires they had to serve man in the first place. Some of that has crept into our pulpits, God forbid. But tonight I want to emphasize the word obedience. If we stay obedient to the word of God and his will and learn to let God speak to our heart and find our place in church to what we're supposed to do, contrary to what you believe, you're not an accident. Your mother and father did not accidentally place you here. You was placed here by God to do his will. And his will is that you're either a teacher, a preacher, a pastor, evangelist. There's a lot of people that sit in church and just be bench holders and don't realize that they have gifts. And your gifts make room for you. When you become obedient to the word of God, your gift will become prevalent. Once you understand that you are subject to the king and his kingdom, and you're part of kingdom building process, for God is coming back to claim his own. Jesus is soon returning to this old world. See, the world is in travail. She's about to bring forth a Savior. You almost can look out and see Jesus coming down the street. It won't be long, so we need to subject ourselves to his obedience. And obedience is just like putting blood on your doorpost, that the spirit of death and disobedience will walk right past you. When you become obedient to the God's word, you learn to wait on the Lord. And you learn to have good courage because your faith and your trust in him by being obedient. Know he'll do exactly what he said he would do. He said if you delight yourself in him, he will give you the desires of his heart. And the only way you can delight yourself in God is being obedient to his word and subject to what the Holy Spirit has for you to do. Sometimes you have to be still and know that he's God. Stand, therefore, when nothing else is working, if you just stand and count on God and say, God, no matter what happens, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to rest in you. And I'm going to be obedient to what your word says. God will speak to your heart. He'll lead, guide, and direct you. In every instant, in every phase, in every part of your life, God is there. Total trust, total delight, and total obedience to his word. I had to learn this a few years ago that if you're not totally obedient to God, you're a double-minded man. And a double-minded person is soon subject to disarray. And all things seem to come unglued. See, a double-minded man, you can't be a fence straddler. He said, I'd rather have you hot or cold, for if you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out. Now, I don't know about you, but my imagination, when I hear God spew you out, I don't want to become a part of being spewed out of the mouth of God. It's not going to be easy, saints. It's not going to be easy to be totally obedient to God. But guess what? That medicine that's bitter usually tastes bad, but it does the best for you. So in order to be obedient, you must do some sacrificing. And that's why it says obedience is better than sacrifice. Because when you become obedient, you sacrifice the old ways that you used to have. There's no way that you can meet Jesus on the real and be obedient and not talk different and not walk different and not look different and not even seem different. You don't want to go to the old places you used to go. You don't want to do the same things that you used to do. Your mind is set on serving God and you become obedient to his will. And that still small voice that speaks to your heart leads, guides, and directs you in every instant and every phase of your life. And it's a joy to know that God is leading me in everything that I do. Everything. Before I go to the store, I went to Walmart yesterday, and Walmart parking lot seemed like it's full. But I'm a child of God. When I pulled up, the first spot right in the front door was vacant. They was pulling out as I was pulling in. And don't nobody do you like that but God. He make a way. That might seem like a small thing to you, but I know he made it possible for me at that instance to be right at the front door. And that's where I always want to be, at God's front door, being subject to his will because I am obedient to what God would have me to do. None of us read the Bible or study the Bible like we should, and including myself. I should study the Bible even twice as much as I do. and I haven't as much as I was, but I'm going to get back to where I should be. But that's because I've let things sometimes get in the way. That doesn't mean I haven't been obedient and doing what God says, but things get in the way. I'm a human being, and I live in this world just like you. Contrary to popular belief, some people think when you become a pastor or an apostle that everything comes up roses and your life is hunky-dory and you don't have any problems. But, you know, I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world. I'm just passing through. And in passing through, I have to go through some of the same things that you have to. Believe me, where I live at, we still get a light bill. And where I live at, we still get a gas bill. And we still have to pay the mortgage. And you still have to have finances to do that. So that means I'm subject to the enemy of this world. And don't get me wrong, Satan is in control of this world in so many ways. But you must understand God is still in total control, and Satan can't do anything that God doesn't allow him. That's why the Bible tells us he goes before God and asks, what is so-and-so doing? But I want you to understand, as long as you're obedient, as long as you're making the ultimate effort to be obedient to God's word, you don't have nothing to worry about. For Romans 5:19 says, "For by one man's disobedience many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." And when you made the righteousness of God through obedience, what a wonderful gift that is. You may not ever have multi-million dollars in the bank. You may not ever live in a mansion. You may not even drive on a phantom Rolls Royce. But when you're the righteousness of God, he says, "I go to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would have told you. In my Father's house are many mansions." So there's a mansion already prepared for you with your address and name on it, if you are the righteousness of God through obedience. So remember, no matter what happens to you in this world, it's not so bad that you cannot be called the child of God, to be made his righteousness. And when I made his righteousness, I am his child. You see, we have to learn how to be kingdom-minded. I don't just want to get to the bottom of a hill. I want to go up on top of the hill where the kingdom is. I want to be where the king is. I want to be in the holy of holies. I just don't want to be in the outer courts, a part of praising out there. I want to be on the inner courts. I want to be as close to God as I can be. And the only way that I can be that close to God is through obedience. Through obedience. Through obedience. We must be obedient, for your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I'm glad they're on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto which is good and simple concerning evil. That's Romans, the 16th chapter, the 19th verse, where it tells us the probabilities of obedience and what happens when there's disobedience. Disobedience leads to nothing but destruction. If you understand when we talked earlier about being obedient at home, you didn't have no problem about your parents. Maybe sometime some of our parents weren't as great as others. But when you were disobedient, you had known that there's going to be consequences. And they were sometime immediate and sometime was delayed. But you knew you were going to have to pay the price for disobedience, because you was told ahead of time what not to do. But you did it anyway, thinking that you was grown. So you may have got a whooping, you may have got punishment, you may have got time out. But there was consequences for your actions. Now, if we as fleshly parents can raise our kids according to our certain rules and regulations, how much more do you think your Father in heaven can? Just like good gifts. He gives good gifts like your parents gave good gifts. But if you're disobedient, there's no whooping like when God starts whooping you. And it tells me in his word, he only chastens those whom he loves. So if you're a disobedient child, doesn't mean God doesn't love you. You're just putting yourself slightly on the outside of his will. Now, his will shall be done irregardless of what you say or do, because before he created you, he completed you. Every hair on your head has been counted. God knows about your tomorrows. And the discussion came up, does God always have total control? I believe he does, but he also lets us have will. The one thing that man has over animals and creatures is will. We have the will to do what we want to do, or better, for lack of a better word, we'll say choice. Because it says, "Choose you this day whom you might serve. As for me and my house, we'll serve God." And so when you learn to serve God, you want to serve him with the perfection and the righteousness that you can. And that only comes through obedience. Now, we're always not going to be perfect in so much as doing everything right. But the word perfect in the Bible means maturation. When you become a mature Christian, there's certain things that you don't and will not and should not do anymore. When you're saved, then you're saved for real. When you're sold out, and you're sold out for real. When you love God, and you love God for real. There's certain things that's not even in your nomenclature no more. They're not even in your spirit no more. They're so far from you that you don't even think about it no more. Case in point, I always like to use myself. I used to smoke crack. That's the firstest thing from my mind now. I could walk through a house full of crack users and would not even think about touching it. It's not in my spirit. It's not part of me anymore. It has been cast in the sea of forgetfulness, and I don't need it, and I don't use it, and I don't even think about it. I found out that I can be just as happy. I can be just as joyful, even more so when I have the high on the Holy Ghost. And when you become obedient to the word of God, it's such a high that you understand that God speaks to you at every instance. O God, that thy will shall be done in my life, allow me to be obedient to you in every instance, every step I take, every breath I make, every move that I take. Let your will be done, and let me be subject to your will by being obedient to your word, God. Speak to my heart and allow me to be the servant that you would have me to be. I haven't done everything right, Lord, but there are some things that I still must do in order to help somebody. You see, everybody is here designed to do something for God. In the process of helping somebody, when you're working for God, you're working to help somebody. Now, you may not have all the tools you need right now, but he said, I supply all your needs according to your riches in heaven. And 2 Corinthians 7:15 tells us this way, and his inward affection is more abundant toward you, while he remembers the obedience of you all, how with fear and trembling that you received him. When you first received God, it was with fear and trepidation and uncertainty. Didn't know what tomorrow might hold, but you know you needed something different. So you said, oh God, come into my life. Allow me to be something different. And then starts the process of you being obedient to the word of God. Running down the aisle in excitement and joining church wasn't it. Asking for forgiveness wasn't it. But true repentance, where you turned around and you put the sin down that was in your life, and you began to step out anew as a babe in Christ, and you put on the new clothes of God, and you started walking according to his word. Scriptures became relevant, and the world became irrelevant. The word of God became prevalent, and everything else was undecided as far as the world was concerned. Because when you decide to follow Jesus, you decide to put yourself into his will. And when you put yourself in his will, you'll be obedient to every facet of God in your life. Oh, saints, we know that it's not easy. But imagine a world where everybody was obedient to the word of God. No more killing. No more stealing. No more adultery. No more homosexuality. No more lesbianism. All those things would be eradicated. We'd be subject to the word of God. And I'm not condemning anyone, but I'm not compromising the word of God either. I'm just saying we need to find out where we're going to be at when the last trump shall sound. And the dead in Christ shall rise, and we who are left shall be caught up to meet him in the sky. And I want to be caught up with him, and I understand that I can be if I become obedient to his word. If I become obedient no matter what happens, if I become hungry tomorrow, he said he will feed me. You see, he supply all my riches according to his word. There's some things that we need to know that God can reveal to us when we become obedient. We become at ease with what's going on. See, this old world might be troubling, and the things that you see might be upsetting. But when you know that ultimately we win because we on the winning team, it tells us in the end that we shall win and we shall rest with him forever and ever in his glory. And that's where I want to be. I want to be obedient to the word of God at every time and every instance that I can. And see, I've been obedient to the word of man. I worked for the government for 24 years. And he had certain laws and certain things that you had to do in order to maintain your employment. But when it came time to leave there, you became subject to the word of God and nothing else. And in 2 Corinthians 10:5-6 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in him a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. That's a powerful scripture. It says, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of God. In other words, everything that you think, everything that enters into your mind, should be subject to the obedience of God. And if you point to your spiritual heart, it's on top of your neck. Because so as a man thinketh, so as a man does. That's why the Bible says, think on these things in Galatians. Whatever is pure, so whatever is love, whatever is of a sacrifice, think on these things. And when your mind is stayed on Jesus, you have a present opportunity to always be subject to his will. I don't know if you believe it or not, but God still speaks to men's hearts. God still directs men's thoughts. When you put yourself in the position to be spoken to by God by being obedient. He don't want robots. He don't want automatons. He wants people that subject themselves to his will because they want to. They subject themselves to his will because they love to. You see, we understand John 3:16. Everybody knows this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But what about you? What about your love towards him? Your love is shown through your obedience. If you love God like God loves you, obedience becomes easy because of the sacrifice that he's made for you already. And we understand the ultimate sacrifice is to give his son's life, that we might give our own life. Gives us the opportunity to stand up and be the men and women of God all the time. Philemon 1:21 says, having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou would do more than I say. In other words, when he wrote Philemon, he was telling him that having the confidence that he will be obedient to the word of God, that you would do what he says. And when we are confident that we are subject to the will of God, we'll do everything God tells us to do. God will tell you some things that seem strange. But guess what? We don't have the mind of God. Just be obedient to the word of God. And we'll know that all things work together to the good of those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. So you know that because you will be subject to his will through your obedience. And sometimes when we're reading the word of God and we envelop ourselves in the word of God and we get into the word of God with total submission to what it says through the help of the Holy Spirit, it would guide us into the position of being totally obedient to everything that God has for us. When you're obedient to God, there's no good gift that he withholds from you. And we've seen we struggle sometime, but God ain't going to leave you out there. I never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And that's because it says the righteous. Remember early in Scripture, we told us that the righteous are obedient to God's word because they became obedient, and that made us into his righteousness. So when we become righteous, we totally relying on God. He'll supply it. He'll give it to you. If you need it, just wait on the Lord and be of good courage. And if it's for you, he'll give it to you. Now, something God is not going to give it to you because we ain't ready for it. And he'll give you all what you need. Sometimes everything and what you want is not everything that you need. We always want more. We the want more generation. I want more, you want more, but God gives you what you need. You got a roof over your head? Thank you, Jesus. You got food on your table? Praise God. You have an opportunity even today to do better than you did yesterday. That's a blessing. We here in the United States have an overwhelming opportunity to do things better and better. And we take for granted the garbage we throw away will feed family after family in other countries. And this country has been obedient so much to the word of God, and Christianity is real prevalent here in the United States, which gives us the opportunity to be blessed by God. But the days are yet coming and are yet here where there's been so much compromise and so much giving up on the standards that have been set by our forefathers and our mothers. And the moral values of our society is dwindling to that of a moral society. Look around our teenagers. It's so terrible to see them walk up and down the street, to see young men with their pants so low that we want to see their hands. A young lady's dress is so high and tight that you understand there's nothing left to the imagination anymore. That's become we don't take them to church like we used to take them to. They don't have a moral foundation like we have a moral foundation. So blaming not all on them, but blaming on us too. When kids start raising kids, they forgot about the community focal point, which was the church. Good, bad, or indifferent, it still taught you to love your neighbor as you love yourself. It gives you the opportunity to be obedient to certain laws of the land and to respect those laws, that we might live in a moral society where there won't be so much killing and thuggery, robbery and hatred, and murder, and those things that are so common on our news now that we take it for granted. Actually, we live in a baby Beirut, if you really think about it. This is another type of Afghanistan. Sure, there's a war on drugs, but also there's a war on us. You see, we fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in high places. Through disobedience, Satan gets a toehold. Through disobedience, Satan gets to move in and operate undercover. He becomes a secret agent of demonology. He becomes a secret agent of mythology. He becomes a secret agent of those things that would deter even the pure saints, if we weren't aware, to even fool us. That's why it says be vigilant over that which God has given you, constantly watching out for the enemy. The way you do that is being obedient to God's word and the Holy Spirit and covered by the blood. Because, see, when the enemy looks at you, he sees blood covering. He don't see Pastor Brooks. He don't see my flesh. He don't see who I am, but he see whose I am. Hallelujah. And when he see whose I am, he knows I operate with the obedience of God. Can't touch this. And that's what I tell him all the time. You can't touch this. You can't do anything to me that I don't allow you to do or God doesn't. So I say, get thee away. I don't even tell him to get behind me no more. I say, get away. I don't want to be bothered. Every now and then he'll come back. But if I'm obedient, I'm going to be prepared. And I thank God for the opportunity to be prepared through obedience. Saints of God, decide this evening that you will totally sell out to be obedient to God. Again, the strategy is to be obedient, trust, delight, comfort, and rest. Those five things will surely pull you through until God comes back. Obedience. Obedience and trust. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to your own understanding, and he shall direct your paths. The Bible is full of words of obedience and obeying. Look them up when you get a chance in your concordance, those of you that study the Word of God. Let the word obedience resonate through your soul and through your heartfelt effort to serve God all the more. Everything is not going to always seem like it's perfect in your life. But when you serve God the best that you can through your obedience, you serve a perfect God. He'll never let you down, nor will he ever leave you. He will always be there with you. So I would say to you tonight, obey. Keep obeying. And don't stop obeying what God would have for you. And I'd like to read another scripture, 1 Peter 1 and 2. It says, elect, according to the knowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace be unto you, and peace be multiplied. God bless you. We're going to see, can we get some questions and answers for the next 15 minutes. We've had a great time in the Lord. We pray that something was said that would cause you to go to the Bible and look up the word obedience and find in scriptures the many, many opportunities you can to see how important it is to be obedient to the word of God, even though you're subject to the laws of man. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Evander's hand, are you there? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm looking for Evangel Hannah to get back online here so that we can have the opportunity to... Amen.
Praise the Lord, man of God. Can you please do the salvation call, please?
Yes, I can.
Okay, thank you.
Anybody out there that does not know Christ, that needs to have a Savior in their life, who've just been on the fringes of society, who's ready to throw their hands up and say, I can't take it no more. Now is the time to relinquish your will to the will of God. And for those of you that want to have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, just repeat after me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come as humble as I know how. I know you died and rose again for me. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, as I call upon your name. Change me. Allow me to be your servant. Allow me to be your servant, Lord. I sacrifice everything I have, Lord, right now to be yours. So, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I am your child, and you are my Father, and I repent of my sins. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. For all those that just said that prayer, I would say to you, get a Bible, get a good word church. If you haven't been saved, find a word church someplace. If you're in Chicago, corner 104th and King Drive would be a good place to start. But open it up and read the Gospels first, the story of Jesus. And then read Acts, how the church started, so that you would have something to go on. And I would pray that God entered your heart and you became saved, that you're his child. All the sin that you did yesterday or a few minutes ago has been forgiven of you. You are a new creature in Christ. Amen and amen. Are there any of those that have questions, Evangelist Hannah? If you could help us out here, if they have any questions or any comments, now is a good time. We have about 12 minutes left. In Jesus' name, I thank all those that listened, and I thank God for his help.
Well, glory to God. I just thank God for everyone that has called in, Kingdom Builders International. Just thank you for all the callers and the internet listeners. Glory be to God. And if you did accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can go to www.kingdombuilders.org and put it in the comment box and let us know. Email us so we can know. We would love to send you an audio Bible. And also, or regular Bible, glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. And every Tuesday and Friday morning from 5 a.m. to 6 a.m., Kingdom Builders International has an intercessory prayer line where you can call in and get prayer or call in and pray. Glory be to God, because God gets to truly get the glory for what we are doing. And every month, the first Saturday of the month, we have a monthly empowerment. The first monthly empowerment for women, the second was for men. In July the 7th, we have prayer empowerment where everyone is invited to come out and pray with us. We will have prayer requests. Glory be to God. And the information will be posted on our website. Glory to God. So the lines will be open in 1 minute. So if you have questions, you can prepare your questions to answer. Ask the apostle. And glory to God. He is truly worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. Man of God, if you have any comments, can you say them now, please?
Only the fact that I'm privileged to be part of a Blog Talk Radio, Kingdom Builders International, and I apologize for not being on there a couple of third Fridays. I'm going to make a concerted effort to make sure that we do not miss our third Fridays ever again. And I find it interesting that I have the opportunity to do this, and I appreciate you for allowing me to, and thank you so much. Hello? Thank you,
glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. The lines are now open for any comments, glory to God, or questions for the man of God. Hallelujah, Jesus. And that's truly what we need in the body of Christ is obedience. And I know that's something that, whether you want to comment on it or not, we all struggle with. Glory be to God. Obedience and consistency. Being consistent with the things of God in our prayer lives, reading His Word, fasting, meditating. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
God is truly worthy of all the glory and all the honor and praise. Glory to God. Apostle, would you like to tell your service times and where your church is located at?
Sure. Again, we're located in Chicago, Illinois. 10359 South King Drive. 606-268. Our services start at 12:30 p.m. every Sunday. For Bible study Thursdays at 7 o'clock. And right now, that's just about it, because those two things are what we're concentrating on. Thursdays, we're starting our women's ministry coming up very soon. As soon as one of our ministers come back off of vacation, we have two ministers that are an intricate part of it and should be back this weekend. So we do have women's ministry that's on every second Saturday at 2 o'clock. Again, that's Greater Straightway Full Gospel Church. And full gospel means just we believe in the entire Bible, including signs, wonders, and miracles. So whatever God has placed in the Bible, that's what we believe in. And that's what full gospel means. So you invited anyone. We're non-denominational, but we are believing in Jesus Christ, the Lord of course. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah. Well, if we don't have any callers, I'll continue to talk. You know, if we don't have any out there that wish to comment.
Go forth.
Well, the thing is, I'd like to emphasize there are things that we need to know about our community. I've been studying about especially strongholds. And in Chicago, the stronghold right now is gangs, death, and drugs. If you notice in Chicago, the demon of gang, death, and drugs is prevalent. Every weekend, we're making a mega count of 50 shot, 12 killed, drugs, and gangs everywhere. Until the saints realize that they have to be obedient and pray against this python spirit that's choking off the life of our children. In Chicago, we're going to have a losing battle. We win the war, but you can lose some battles and some skirmishes along the way. So I'd like to call the saints to fast every Saturday as much as they can against gangs, drugs, and bullets. Specifically, it doesn't matter who you are, what you are, what church you're going to. This is a common cause that's affecting everybody, everywhere. And you just have to tell the enemy, no more. And we don't have to accept it. And as long as we become complacent to it and think marching in the street is going to help, or going down and talking to the mayors and the president, that's not going to do it. It's a spirit that we fight against in high places. And we must fight against this spirit with fasting and praying and determination that we can destroy it by being saints of God. If he gives us the desires of our heart and we come totally submitted to that which we do not want in our cities, especially this constant killing and shooting over minor things, just pulling out a gun just because you have one. And if we pray and fast, everybody, every Saturday, if it's just from sun up to sundown, or 24 hours. I just call on a fast for every person that can, every Saturday, all day Saturday, that we come against this. And we'll see the results, because God honors our obedience. God honors our prayers. God honors our faith. God honors our trust. And if we move in that direction, God will certainly allow us to be the recipients of his blessing and covering, that our children might be safe this summer. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm hoping the saints can hear this, that all around, that they understand that we need you to pull together. Our rallying point should be the cross of Christ. Our rallying point should be the fact that we know God will give us the desires of our heart. And they're saying this summer's going to be a hot summer because of all the things that have transpired prior to schools even letting out. Now that schools are out, what are we going to do to protect our children? By calling on the blood of Jesus Christ. By binding this looseness of moral values and hatred of life. And we thank God for what he's about to do, and we praise him for it. For we know he can do it. Amen. Are there any callers out there? Anyone that like to have any comments or anything they like to say, now is a good time. Hallelujah. Well, we'd like to thank everyone for the opportunity. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, this is Evangelist Tan. I just want to say a couple of you in prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus,
yes,
we just
Lord.
Thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy, God. We magnify you, glorify you, exalt your name this evening, God. In the mighty name of Jesus, God, I just come right now, Father God, lifting up Apostle Brooks to you in the name of Jesus, Lord God, and all that he put out tonight for your people, Lord God. I pray that you will fill him, Lord God, with a double portion in the mighty name of Jesus, God. I thank you, Lord God, that every need is met for the man of God. I thank you that no weapon against him shall prosper, Lord God.
Thank you, Lord.
I glad any backlash or retaliation from the enemy in the mighty name of Jesus.
Thank
I thank you that the man of God dwells in the secret place of the Most High, God. 1,000 may fall at his left, 10,000 at his right, God. But I thank you that no harm shall not his dwelling in the name of Jesus, God. I thank you for his faithfulness to you, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that you will continue to give the man direction and confirmation on that direction, Lord God, as you are taking him higher in you, Father God, as you are revealing more things to the men of God, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. Hey, Queen Shaka, every assignment sent out against the men of God from the enemy is canceled right now. In the name of Jesus, God, I take authority over it. In the name of Jesus, God,
thank
I say to the every promise that you have promised the man of God shall manifest, Lord God, in the natural realm, God, in the name of Jesus, God.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
We thank you for your warning angels, Lord. Jesus.
Thank you, God.
I thank you for the men of God. I plead the blood over his wife, Lord God, over his church home, Lord God.
Hallelujah.
That no weapon formed shall prosper. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I pray, amen and glory to God. And I just thank you again, man of God, for coming forth with that word from the Lord on obedience. And you on the line of the internet, just meditate on the word that the man of God has brought forth tonight in the name of Jesus. You can always go back on the website, www.blogtalkradio.com/Kingdom Builders International. And type in his name, and any broadcast that he has taught will come up. Glory be to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Go tell somebody. Thank you, Lord God.
Yes.
And when God bring a word sometimes that we don't want to hear, we just got to sit and listen to the Holy Spirit and let him check us. No, you're not being obedient in this area, in that area. I don't want to see
you. Thank you, Lord.
It may be a spiritual or it may be natural. Glory be to God.
Thank you, Lord.
So we
Hallelujah.
Praise and honor and glorify you tonight, God. And
thank you, Lord God.
In Jesus Christ's holy name, I pray. Amen. And thank you again, man of God. You know we truly love you. And I just speak blessings upon
you
in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And we
God bless
you. Everyone that has called in, all our internet listeners and our callers, we thank you, and we say good night, and glory be to God.
Good night, and I love you. Hope to see you
soon,
you guys.
Love you too, men of God. Okay,
bye-bye.
Bye-bye.